Tango Tango Papa 2100, January 5th, 2022.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you back from work. Came back to work today. From right now, I'm at near Kabul, Missouri. That's sort of in, I guess, more or less south central Missouri. So I picked a load up at Neosho earlier today, and then that load delivers tomorrow afternoon to Sikeston, Missouri, and then after that I'll be picking a load up at Sikeston that I believe it goes to Sterling, Illinois, and delivers on, so today was Thursday, Friday, so it delivers on Saturday afternoon in Sterling, Illinois. So back at work, kind of as I suspected. Once my parents got there, I really didn't have much opportunity to podcast. I was occupied a good chunk of the time with them, and that's fine. That's why, one of the reasons why I, for the past several years, I go ahead and take the time off at Christmas. And typically I spend the vast majority of it with them, either them coming up to Arkansas as they did this year or last year, or as I've done in the past, me kind of meeting them down in South Texas. So in any case, we did have a couple of cold days there where it got down, I think maybe probably around 12 degrees, something like that. I think that was, if I'm remembering correctly, that was the low. So 12 really isn't bad. It could have been much worse than that, obviously. So, but, because I guess just in the past few days, or a couple of days, there was a big traffic jam in Virginia along Interstate 95 with, I guess there was snow and ice and what have you. And, of course, an accident occurred and it blocked the interstate, and I guess there was like a 50-mile backup. Now, I haven't really delved into the details of it, so I don't know if it was just on one side or the other. But, it may have been on both sides for all I know. So, those things happen, and I don't know if, really, if it starts getting bad, typically what I'll do is find a place to stop if I can. There's really no point in trying to push on forward. Now, I know a lot of people do that. They think, well, I'm going to make it. And, of course, I-95, they've probably, the people that are on that, they think this road's so busy, it just can't shut down, and so we're just going to barrel right on through. And, I guess they got, some of them were kind of parked for the better part of 24 hours in some cases. So, in a case like that, you just hopefully you've brought some kind of food with you, because you never know when those kind of things will happen. Now, of course, I do have some canned goods with me that I probably won't ever eat, but I have them just in case. And then the other thing that I do have that I will eat are the nuts that I have. Actually, I can show you those. Probably have shown them in the past, but get these at Sam's Club. 2-pound bag of almonds. And then I have the cheese sticks that I carry with me as well. So, anyway, those, I would be able to eat and have plenty of stuff to drink. So if I ever did get stuck in a massive traffic jam like that, that went on for a really extended period of time, I would be able to manage. But, you know, I can only imagine, you know, and that's probably true with a lot of truck drivers, but especially people that have their sleeper there. But the people in the cars, it's a different story, you know, because they really don't have any place where they could sleep. They probably didn't bring much food with them. Some of them would have been more prepared. You'd have a small percentage that would be prepared. And probably probably the largest percentage of them wouldn't be. So, I did receive an email from Shana. Haven't heard from Shana in a long, long time. So Shana says, "Hey Tom, it's been a while since I said hi, but I'm loving all the content you've been doing lately and wanted to chime in on a few things. First, I listened to the podcast on Pocket Casts. Which supports video? Are you currently sending the video out or just audio?" So as far as the podcast goes, that's just audio. And the hosting service that I'm using is Blueberry, and I don't think they would probably appreciate me trying to push out big video files. So right now with the video, I'm just kind of pushing that up to YouTube, and I've experimented just a little bit with Rumble. I haven't experimented at all with Twitch or any of the other ones. So, so as far as, you know, the video that I'm recording right now is going to go up to YouTube. And, but of course the audio will go out, you know, to the regular podcast, and then it gets picked up on, you know, who knows how many different podcast aggregators, you know, wherever it goes, you know, it goes all over the place. And, you know, so, but for, you know, I really, you know, as far as the hosting thing goes, video would be probably fairly hard to host. I'm sure there's some people that are doing that, but the audio files are just so much smaller, and it seems that as far as the audience goes, it seems that people are much more interested in the actual audio than they are video. It's just really me lately becoming kind of more enamored with video again since I've got more bandwidth. I feel that it's kind of time for me to jump into the video and really kind of refamiliarize myself with it, especially now since it's gotten easier, just in general. So, anyway, she says, "I'd be happy to be a guinea pig with you if you wanted to get it set up. Recently, I searched for you and found a different feed that had album art, so I changed to that." So there's different, I don't know, I've got Feedburner. There's basically one podcast, you know, it's hosted by Blueberry. And then that gets pushed out to wherever. So Apple picks that up. And I'm not sure if they're picking it up directly like the Apple podcast and the Google podcast. I'm not exactly sure which feed is being picked up where, but of course I do still, everything is still pointed because there still is a feed burner, and then feed burner, all of the feed burner stuff is pointed to the Blueberry hosting, so that stuff kind of all gets pushed out, and I know on different services there can be different album art. And I think that sort of depends on which feed burner feed, because I've got more than one, of course. Just depends on what they're all pointed at the Blueberry server right now. But it just depends on which feed burner feed they're kind of pointed at. And so there are different logos that might show up, but as long as everything's working, it should all be the same. So, you know, it all gets very confusing as far as, you know, what goes where. But, I just periodically I'll check and these different services and see if I show up or not. And usually I do, so. So anyway, have you considered streaming on Twitch? In the last 2 years, I've gotten super involved in various communities, mostly food and drink. But I think you could definitely get a following there. The cool thing about Twitch is that it's live streaming, so you can interact with people. You've already got the OBS software and gear. So that's kind of what I'm probably going to eventually do, is get into the live streaming thing. And I know there's a bunch of gaming stuff on Twitch, and I've sort of made a cursory look at it. As far as the gamers, of course, that's what pops up at the top. And I, you know, if you just go to twitch.com, that's what kind of pops up at the top, is the gamer stuff. And I'm, you know, so I really need to become more familiar with the different people that are streaming on Twitch, and then what they're doing there. So, but that's one of the reasons, you know, I do think I'll probably end up doing streaming at some point, but I want to kind of perfect the video in general before I try to make that jump. Because I know that, you know, I've watched a lot of people do live streams, let's say just on YouTube, and of course they're having to watch the chat, and then people send them the super chats, you know, and then they have to, sometimes they'll miss it, and other times they'll, you know, they'll have their little shout outs to whoever that sent them the super chat, and, you know, it kind of presents them a dilemma, because on the one hand, they're acknowledging the person that sent the money, but on the other hand, they're too much of that, and they don't really, they keep getting interrupted a lot. So it, you know, it kind of maybe lessens the impact of what they're trying to say. You know, it kind of interrupts their stream of thought in a lot of cases. So, but anyway, I just need to become more familiar with this, especially this OBS studio, because that's actually what I'm using right now to record this with, and this is on Surface Pro 3 that I have. And I had to fiddle with it for quite a while to get the sound to work the way I wanted. Of course, I'm using this ancient M-Audio Fast Track USB little sound thing. And, you know, but I think I've got it working now. So, but, you know, this stuff all needs to be troubleshooted. And I just need to become more familiar with the settings. And so what I was doing, you know, I spent probably 2 hours this evening. I decided I was going to record this with the OBS studio. And so I spent a good couple of hours kind of fiddling with different audio settings. And of course, there's a bunch of different audio settings here and there. So I become more familiar with what each one does, and kind of eventually be able to, you know, immediately solve problems with it, because I kind of know what this does and know what that does. But there are a lot of different settings in this. So I'm becoming more familiar with it. So she goes on, I've got a lot of personal issues these days. I'm struggling from personal, professional health and family. I'm not vaxxed, and my son just recently told me he won't see me until I am, and is further trying to make my sister not welcome me in her home either. It's a tragedy. Meanwhile, my 57-year-old boyfriend with diabetes and a heart condition succumbed to his daughter's pressure to get vaxxed just last week so he can see his grandbaby. which we probably still won't see. His best friend died suddenly 2 weeks after getting vaxxed this summer. It's a mess. I've considered counseling, but don't even know which issue I'd start with, so instead I'm focusing on doing small things each day to try to progress, and that includes breathing and meditation, which I know enough about but don't practice. This is another podcast I listen to, but I thought this episode related to what you always talk about, and so she sent this link here. It's a very long link with a bunch of numbers and letters in it. Anyway, I look forward to more content. Have a wonderful new year. And it's from Shayna. So thank you, Shayna. And so I already answered Shayna's email back. And, you know, I don't know. Now, it's interesting. Now, I can only kind of talk about I can kind of talk about what happened. And I already have talked a little bit about what happened in my own family. And, you know, so I've, you know, one family member, and I'm just going to kind of keep it vague. One family member decided that they weren't going to allow other family members around them if they didn't have the vaccine. And so that's the story. Now, this is a second hand. I didn't really hear it directly from the horse's mouth. So this is kind of second hand stuff. However, the unvaxxed ones didn't go to be with the vaxxed ones. So that part of the story holds up. So, and I know there are people that are just really insistent. And, you know, I was kind of thinking about this. You know, what is it about people, human beings, that, you know, if someone, you know, and it doesn't have to, let's just kind of take it out of the realm of the vaccine, but, you know, and it could be anything. But why is it that people think, you know, they can actually get to the point where they, you know, let's say that both sides are ideologically possessed, just for the sake of argument. They're ideologically possessed in different ways. You know, and let's just say that I'm ideologically possessed by something. And so I'm ideologically possessed to the point that I want nothing to do with person X because they violate my ideological possession. What is that? You know, and you see the extreme thing, well, I'm going to cancel you. You know, I'm going to make life miserable for you. I'm going to terrorize you because I don't agree with your ideological possession. And that's really what it is. You know, that's really what that is, you know, this whole cancel culture thing is, well, you know, I don't like you, I disagree with you, so therefore I'm going to terrorize you. I'm going to make your life miserable because I can, because you don't agree with my ideological possession, or, you know, it's really a strange thing. You know, and it's not going to, you know, and of course people in their own minds, they can think, well, I'm doing some good because I'm going to force this relative or this person or this friend, or, you know, I'm going to force them. I'm going to apply my little corner of pressure. I'm going to apply it so that, you know, if they want to see the grandkids or whatever, then by God, they're going to get the shot. You know, and I'm doing it for their own good. You know, and of course, that's the rationalization. But really what's going on in their own minds, really what's going on is that they're being a terrorist. But they're sort of cloaking it in sort of nice clothing. They're sort of whitewashing it in their own mind. But really, they're being a terrorist. you know, the whole cancel thing is there. It's really a form of terrorism, especially if you're withholding your, you know, grandkids or whatever. So, and that's unfortunate, you know. So I've got a relative that if she, you know, if ends up kind of sticking to the guns, you know, that's really sort of, that is a kind of a form of terrorism. You know, it's kind of to a limited extent, but I don't care. You know, and this may seem cold, but I don't care if I ever see the relative again. And equally, if, you know, I could be friendly and warm with the relative and happy to see him again. But if they cut themselves off because I'm not vaccinated, that's their problem, not mine. That's really cold. That may seem quite cold, but it's actually the other way around. Someone that would actually terrorize, you know, by threatening to withhold access, you know, not only to themselves but their kids, let's say, threatening to withhold physical access, or company, physical company, just because someone's vaccinated or not vaccinated, that's kind of a form of terrorism. So, you know, they're the ones that are sort of being the terrorists. And so why would people think that they can be emotional? And that is emotional. And of course they'll say, oh, it's perfectly rational. Being perfectly rational to try to force whoever to kind of do what I want them to do because it's for their own good, you know, and they can kind of twist it around in their own minds. But I can be equally, you know, there's nothing wrong with me being completely cold about it and you know, not really caring one way or the other. You know, if someone wants to cut themselves off from me, let's say, you know, someone I thought was a friend wants to cut themselves off because I'm not vaccinated, then they never were a friend to start with, were they? What kind of a friend would do that? Not a very good one. So, but that's, it is a problem, and you know, all you can do is the person that is doing that, the person that's being unreasonable, and it's not the person that's not wanting to get the vaccine, they're not the ones that is being unreasonable. It's the people that want to force other people into doing what they want them to do. That's the party that's being unreasonable. Sorry. But if you would love to force people to become vaccinated by hook or by crook, no matter how you've twisted it in your mind, you're the one that's being unreasonable. So that's a completely unreasonable position to, you know, well, I'm going to force you to do it. So, but in any case, you know, I think we all, to varying degrees, in a myriad of different ways, are ideologically possessed. Now, how are we able to get along? The only way we can really get along is if we can kind of agree, and we have to do it voluntarily. We have to voluntarily set aside our ideological clashes. And some people they just can't do it. Now, what I've done with my parents, I pretty much cut them off from any kind of political discussion. And, you know, my mom will always try a little bit, and I shut it down right away. And this, you know, she tried, you know, a little bit with it. Now, what's interesting, and I shut it down. But what's interesting, before, not that long ago, she was just really sort of really pushing the idea that I should be vaccinated. And she was offering money. I'll pay you $100. And then maybe at one point she said, I'll pay you $1,000 if you'll get vaccinated. Nope, sorry. No amount's going to make me do it or to bribe me into it. And then now she's gone from being what I was describing as sort of a vax bot to not so much. She hardly even mentioned it. And, and even to that, other than that she was, that her and Dad were vaccinated and some other people were or whatever, but she never really pushed it at all. She didn't push it at all. She didn't, as in, would I get vaccinated? All that talk's gone. And I think here's what happened. She's had like the booster, and so maybe she's had like a third booster, and this third booster, she's had a lot of allergic reactions to different foods and drugs and what have you over the years. And so all of a sudden she was having this terrible allergic reaction, and it was probably, she even kind of admitted it was probably that third vaccine, the third booster. She had this really bad allergic reaction, and so she took some Benadryl, and they went to the emergency room, and in the emergency room gave her a shot of like more Benadryl. And so at some point, following that, while she was still in the emergency room, all of a sudden she kind of lost the ability to speak, which scared the hell out of her. She knew what she wanted to say, but she couldn't speak for, probably, I don't know, for what, maybe an hour or so, maybe not quite an hour. And, so she thinks it was the Benadryl. They think, well, they because she had taken Benadryl and then they gave her, kind of a shot of it with an actual syringe full of, however much Benadryl. And so she thought, well, maybe that was what did it, but it could have just as equally been the vaccine. But it probably, in all fairness, it probably was the Benadryl. But in any case, since then, and the main thing was she had the allergic reaction, and it probably was the vaccine that did it. Because usually she can trace it back. It's either she's eaten beef because she's allergic to beef, and if she eats very much beef, she's probably almost guaranteed to have an allergic reaction. And then she's allergic to all kinds of different things. Her skin is sensitive to wrong kind of like detergent, laundry detergent. She's got to be careful with. So she's really kind of sensitive. But I think since she, this had the really bad allergic reaction to the vaccine, and it probably was the vaccine, and she even admitted as much, she just really hasn't been pushing it. So that kind of lends credence to the theory that I think I talked about in the last podcast, and, it bears repeating. It's not possible to convince people. If someone's convinced of whatever it is, it's probably impossible to persuade them the other way, to kind of persuade their thinking to a different way. They've already, they're sort of inclined to go whatever way. And but the only thing that can really change people's minds, and it's not a guarantee that it will, but the only thing that really can change people's minds is if they suddenly find themselves between a rock and a hard place. If they find themselves in a gutter, either literally or figuratively. And there's nowhere else to go. And then suddenly they have a revelation. It's a revelation from conscience, of course. Suddenly have a revelation, and then you can either believe the revelation, act on the revelation, or not. You can turn your back on it. Now, if you act on it, interesting, the times I've acted on those sorts of revelations, it kind of goes from, the idea, I've talked about the idea of believing versus behavior. You can say all day long that you believe in this and you believe in that and you believe in the flag and you believe in free speech and you believe in God, etc., etc., etc. But where the rubber meets the road is your actual behavior. And if you embrace a revelation of your conscience, a revelation from your conscience, that changes your behavior. Your behavior actually can change. My behavior has changed because of those sorts of revelations. And it really goes beyond, because you can talk about what you believe, but the rubber meets the road when it comes to behavior versus simple belief or saying that I think this or I believe that. The rubber meets the road, by my actual behavior. I'm able to kind of determine what are my real beliefs, based on what my actual behavior is, not what I say that I believe or what I think my behavior should be, but what is the actual behavior in any given circumstance when the real pressure is there. What's my behavior? That tells me what my real values are. So you can find those real values. Those values can actually change if you are in a situation where you've got an actual revelation. And that can happen, Shana with her son, for example, or my relative that's apparently kind of pushing the vaccine thing with the family. That can happen because they could be at some point needing something, or conscience eventually somehow. I think what happens, you end up in the gutter, either literally or figuratively, and then there's no place else to go, and then conscience catches up with you. And in those situations where conscience catches up, and it's better to do it voluntarily, by the way. It's better to voluntarily stop and allow conscience to catch up. But if it catches up as a result of you being in the gutter, or between a rock and a hard place, go ahead and embrace it, because it's still a choice to embrace it or not, but that can actually end up changing your behavior. Not just what you say you believe, but it can actually change your behavior. So, I don't know, I can't, Shane and I can't really tell you what to do with that, but what I would say is that with the relative that I've got that is kind of pushing the vaccine idea, if they decide they don't want anything to do with the unvaccinated portion of the family, which that's me, and some other, and I've got other family members as well that are the same way. If that's the case, that's the case. Don't care. They might as well then be strangers. And just as equally, if they change their mind, and even if they change their mind at a later date, and they, you know, then, and then they decide to come around, well, fine and dandy, then, you know, I'd be happy to show up at that point. But the point is that I will not allow myself to become sort of emotionally terrorized over the emotional unreasonableness of other people. Emotions really are a form of insanity. When I believe we actually have natural emotions, but our natural emotions are actually pretty subdued, and I believe that human beings end up misusing emotions, sort of amplifying them into things that they shouldn't, you know, and using them in ways that they were never intended. Sort of along the same veins, people use carbohydrates in ways that were never intended. You know, or name any other thing. You know, people use things in ways that were never intended. So, anyway, think about finished here. Let me see something. I want to check this. I guess I must have closed it. Looking at my phone right now. Okay. Yeah, I think that's it. So anyway, back at work, and won't be going home again till towards the end of the month. Now, actually, my parents are still at my house for the next most of that time. I think they, you know, because they're gonna, they've got more. They've went to the doctor today. They had a doctor's appointment. Actually, the doctor saw both of them at the same time, and I think they've got more doctor's appointments. So. So that, you know, but they, you know, and it would have been nice if they would have, if I would have gotten to hang out with them longer, but they didn't, you know, they stayed in South Ark or down in South Texas until the, you know, until a day or two after Christmas before they came up to Arkansas because they didn't want to get in the traffic. And I can understand that. So, but it would, you know, so I still was around them for about, I guess, a good 5 or 6 days. So, enjoyed it, excuse me. And so they'll, you know, they'll be going back and then back where it's warm. Because they've, you know, they've, even in December, you know, they were having, every once in a while, they were getting a 90 degree day, you know. And, it, you know, so that's... But they do get chillier days as well, but it very, very rarely freezes down there, although it can. I've seen it freeze down there where they're at, down there in the bottom of Texas. It can freeze on occasion, but that's a pretty rare event when that happens. So, but, you know, they kind of like it down there, and I understand why, especially in the winter time because it's so warm. But then on the other hand, it does get very hot in the summer. During the summer months, South Texas gets unbearably hot. So it's, you know, it's, they've all, I think every place has its advantages and disadvantages until you get into places that are just too cold to start with. I don't really care for super cold climates. So, anyhow, hope everyone is having a good week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.